This episode of the Quick Pop Podcast is fueled by Ball's Guarana Soda. Ball's Guarana is a highly caffeinated premium soda that is infused with the natural guarana berry for an incredible taste and a super caffeinated kick. Ball's has fueled the days and nights of gamers and wrestling fans alike for over 25 years. Ball's Guarana is available in 7 amazing flavors, including Ball's Original Soda, Cherry, Root Beer, Orange, Ginger Ale, Cherry Cola, and Ball's Zero Sugar. Flavors are offered in the iconic 10-ounce bumpy bottle or the sleek 16-ounce can. For a limited time, Ball's will offer listeners free shipping on your next order when you purchase at www.balls.com. Use code QUICKPOP at checkout to receive free shipping on your order. Well, hi there, boys and girls. We're here with another episode of, say it with me, the Quick Pop Podcast. That's right, boys and girls, we're here in the new season 7. Can you count to 7? 1, 7. Fill in the rest yourself, because we can't be bothered to. This is the Quick Pop Podcast. Yes, you heard it here, folks. This is the Quick Pop Podcast. We are indeed in season 7, our outstanding slow but solid start to season 7. I hope you all are enjoying your wrestling out there. It is good. It is great. It is fun. I'm here, as always, with my two illustrious co-hosts, Mr. I Am Raunchy Ron and DJ Jazzy Jake. How are you guys doing today?
It's me. I'm Jake.
It's me. I'm Ron.
And it's me. I'm Ace. Okay, so we got that out of the way. How's everybody doing today? What did y'all do this week?
It's me, I'm Jake.
It's me, I'm Ron.
Still me, and it's still Ace. Well, that's so cool.
Jake, this is Ron. What did you do this weekend, Jake?
I started watching X-Men, and I was taking care of my baby, and then the Fire Nation attacked, and then it burned my baby. But then my baby got special powers, and my baby could shoot fire out of its fingies. And I think it's really rad.
Ooh, that's
we've been
like
grilling rad. Like we've been putting the baby like below the grill, and the baby would just like light it up. Have you ever had a rice cooker made out of a baby?
No, Jake, I haven't.
It was amazing.
Sounds delicious. Your baby actually sounds like a baby I would like. I normally don't like babies. I punch them in faces if I can.
Yeah, no, I understand. But my baby's cool like that. So right now, our neighborhood is going through like this boil water ban, because like there's like peptides and stuff inside the water. And so I just take my baby and, you know, I start shaking it a little, and then the fire starts coming out. And so the baby is helping us like boil the water. So that way it's healthy for all of us to drink.
Jake, I'm not sure about anything with the babies. I'm just a good boy. But I don't think you should shake babies.
Yeah, no, like that's how it activates. Like after a while, like the baby wasn't like making fire. You know, we had like a barbecue on Sunday, and we had Ace over, and the baby just wasn't burning. So, you know, give it a little old shake, and then bam, we got nice, like medium rare steaks.
You're such a good time. Jake, you're such a good parent. Ace, did you take notes where you were at the barbecue of how to parent? Jake, did
you quick.
Okay, just making sure Jake helps you learn how to parent. Because that sounds like a great parent.
Amazing parent.
Yeah, I wish
my name is Quick Pop. This is Ace.
Yeah.
Hi, Ace.
Hi, Ace.
No, I'm Quick Pop.
Ace is good boy. Quick Pop? Who's Quick Pop?
How is your weekend, Ron?
I'm Quick Pop.
Oh my! You know, me and my partner watched Fallout. We really liked the first episode because of, you know, scenes Ace doesn't want to talk about. Then I did cons. I drew drawings that Ace won't let me talk about. And then I, you know, like Kevin Nash was there. So I like slipped him notes about how like Ace really would like to have him on the podcast, how Ace is his biggest fan, how he should follow Ace. And, you know, how they just need to chat it up some.
Why is Ace like the biggest fan of everyone? First, it's like Zack Sabre Jr. and we couldn't get him to stop talking about him. And now it's like Kevin Nash. Like,
yeah.
When are we going to have our time? When do we get to talk about wrestlers?
Dude, I was at my convention selling my art and my wares, and Ace just keeps texting me. Have you sent Kevin Nash the note yet? Have you talked to Kevin Nash? Hey, man. Hey. So how's the Nash situation going? It was annoying.
Yeah, I just, wish Ace would stop for at least a minute and, you know, let you do your job.
Yeah, right? Yes, let me do my job. Jake, you don't draw. You can't draw, Jake.
No, I can't even draw stick figures.
No.
But my baby could make fire.
Yeah. No, where were you?
I made popcorn with my baby.
Your baby's the better of the two of you.
Like we just put like the little pop secret bag on it, and then we just put the baby under it, and then bam, within a minute, bam, there it is.
Yeah, your baby's definitely the better of the two of you, Jake.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I wish I could do fire. But yeah, no, popcorn in a minute, Ron.
Just 1 minute? You shake your baby and it could like just quickly pop that popcorn in a minute.
In a minute.
Wow.
Ron, this is, come on.
This is a quick popcorn minute.
This is a quick popcorn minute.
I was waiting for you to do it, dude. I was waiting for it. Okay.
So anyway, this quick minute, designed to get all the stuff we're not going to talk about. Jake, what are we going to talk about in the quick minute, Jake?
Reports had started to surface as of recent that WWE Women's Champion Rhea Ripley may be forced to vacate her title due to an injury. The injury is linked to her arm that was both seen in a brace and in a sling. The Liv Morgan angle last week may have been an aid to write Rhea off the show so she could recover. Former AEW champion Maxwell Jacob Friedman had been in meetings with AEW officials in Boston. Though he was not at AEW Big Business, he is still locked in with his deal with AEW and is currently recovering from multiple injuries. Stardom founder Rossi Ogawa has announced his new all-female wrestling promotion, Marigold. The names currently tied to the new Stardom rival are currently Utami Hayashishita, Mirai, Nao Ikishawa, Zyda Steele, and WWE contracted talent, Julia. And finally, famous director and writer James Gunn has stated that filming has begun on the John Cena-led DC Comics live-action series, Peacemaker, Season 2. And this was your quick pop, quick minute.
That was great, Ron.
Oh, yeah, no, I try my best.
What do you mean, Jake?
No.
That's Ron. Do you not know our voices? That's Ron. I'm Jake.
Yeah, I'm Ron. That's Jake.
Yeah.
What's in this water?
I don't know, but it tastes good to me.
I'm going to drink some more of it.
There you go. Make sure you find Jake's baby so you can boil it down.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from. I was just running with it.
Oh no! What you
talking about? Having like a boil?
I'm just like, I'm just going to let him go.
I'm going to be real. No, I'm going to be real permanently honest with you. When you started saying like that, you were basically under like a boil warning or something. I legitimately started looking up like, is Olive Branch in a boil warning?
Hey, Ace was like, does Ron know something about Jake's life that I do not?
That's right. What I'm saying. Well, no, that's why I was like, dang, did Ron do his homework? Hold on, let me check this.
No, I just recalled the time that like my place was in a boil warning because there were brain eating parasites in our water. Back when I used to live down south. That. Yeah.
There was a boil water warning in Jackson, Mississippi last year. So yes. Which, yeah.
Anything is possible.
Not because your governor didn't know what to do and parked a water truck out his front of his house?
Because our governor went on TV and said the crisis is over while a water truck was funneling clean water into his governor's mansion, but everyone else was still, like, SOL. And he was just like, nah, it's over, guys. I'm good. So it's over. God, he is the worst. Okay. Enough politics.
Yeah, let's talk about wrestling. Stuff happened in wrestling.
Did it? What happened this week, Ron?
I mean, everything that I just covered on the Quick Pop Quick Minute, that's what happened. Nothing else happened in wrestling.
Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, why don't you cry me a river about it?
That was just rude. Cry you a river, that's mean. That's mean. Mean-spirited. What is happening now?
The Justin Timberlake song, Cry Me a River.
Oh, no, Ace. I understand that.
Yeah.
It's
do you like Justin Timberlake? Have you ever watched Trolls? It's actually really good.
He's literally from our city, so like...
Yeah, Justin Timberlake. Have you watched Trolls with your kid?
No.
Not yet, no.
You should.
Wait, hold on.
The new one, Trolls Band Pause. Together, is really good.
Hold on. Pause. For a moment, I thought you were talking about the old one.
What do you
the oh my god,
like the cartoon Trolls?
No, the oh my god, they're eating her and then they're gonna eat me.
What
are you on about?
The old, like, was it like 90s Trolls, like, horror movie?
Gremlins?
Trolls.
Ace, I have no idea what you're talking about, and I find
this is not even
I'm not following.
Dude, we were.
I'm talking about Trolls with Justin Timberlake.
Yes, I thought you were talking about Trolls, like the 1986 horror fantasy film.
There's a horror fantasy film called Trolls?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, I'm going to IMDb it.
Specifically Troll, not Trolls, but I thought that's what you were talking
about. No, I'm talking about Trolls, like the little marketable, like, Trolls. So, the ones that sing and dance now, and everything.
But I thought you were saying, like, Justin Timberlake was in, like, the original Trolls.
No,
like,
he was in the Mickey Mouse Club during that time.
He could have been in this movie.
Ace, we were seconds away from actually talking about wrestling. You have awoken memories in me because I'm looking at these pictures and I remember this movie.
I'm telling you. I was not just, like, drinking more of this water. Like, I legitimately was like, why is Ron talking about the 1986 horror fantasy film Troll?
Oh, my Lord. Now I'm going to have to. Oh, my Lord. I'm going to have to watch this back.
Because it's got the iconic line of, like, oh, my God, they're eating her. And then they're going to eat me. Oh, my God. Like,
I'm still
that's what I thought you were referencing.
I'm still convinced in the movie Dirty Work when Norm Macdonald goes, and now he's using the chainsaw. Yeah. Oh, me is a total. I totally think 100%. He's mocking that movie.
100%.
Totally think he's mocking that movie. Anyway, guys, wrestling, crazy stuff that happened. Are we gonna?
Why don't we just get right into it? Like, let's get right into BS. It. Let's
okay.
Get the BS. The thing that they were bragging about, which I thought was really funny, by the way.
I don't know bragging or whatever, but the thing that they were promoting.
Specifically Tony Khan, I guess is what I'm saying, when it was like the following day, he was like, oh my God, did you believe it? TBS reported that ratings were up, like, you know, 18%. I was like, God, I can't imagine why, Tony.
Okay, so we were talking about it last podcast that there was going to be a certain thing that aired during AEW Dynamite on Wednesday night, and it was going to be presented by the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks presented legit actual footage of the altercation between CM Punk and Jungle Boy Jack Perry. It lasted about a minute.
I have,
it was very underwhelming, that's for sure.
I have two trains of thought on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go with my first one first. Let's look at this from the AEW show standpoint, right? The Young Bucks you know, give a promo about basically how because of that incident, they weren't able to focus on the match. So that's the only reason FTR beat them. They, you know, quoted CM Punk with saying, like, you know, if you don't like Jack Perry, there's the problem is you. They had a scapegoat shirt, all of that, right? And then juxtapose that with FTR coming out upset and basically being like, hey, we're tired of talking about this, which a lot of fans are saying. Young Bucks are just petty douchebags, which is what their characters are. And then they talk about how much they love the place, right? Mm. As far as that being the storyline going into the match, I love it. I love every bit of it. You have FTR, basically known friends of CM Punk, being like, we love this place. The other place made us shave each other's backs and, you know, this, that, and the blah, blah, blah. So it's that is good control management. You are sending friends of the guy that said the place sucks to be like, we love it. They're just petty douchebags, right? And then you have the Bucks doubling down on we're the petty douchebag heels. We're management that is improper management, right? So I loved that. Okay.
All right, go on.
Ace, can you get the sensor ready? Why the fuck would you show that? Because here's the thing. The thing is this. By showing that, right? I guess in their minds, they're showing that Punk was unstable and Punk did this and Punk did that and blah, 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 right? I think showing that footage hurt AEW way more than it
was. 100% agreed.
Because in Punk's interview, he was like in the MMA interview that lasted like almost 2 hours when he was asked about the incident. He said he could talk about that one. He said they got in each other's faces. It got heated and it got physical. And the guy said, you punched him. And then Punk laughed and goes, no, I didn't punch him. I just choked him a little. Right. Which is exactly verbatim what happened. Right.
Yep.
So now if that is exactly verbatim what happened, if I am just a casual wrestling fan, right, that knows enough but not a little, and I saw that interview with Punk, right, and then I hear they're doing the footage, I'm like, when I see that footage, the first thing that pops in my mind is, oh, so he didn't lie about that. Holy crap, what else was he not lying about? Like,
exactly. Talking, like, all you did was validate Punk's claims.
All you did
give
was
give him more credibility.
Yes, all you did was validate his claims. If people were... When Punk said, I choked him a little bit, if you were not okay with that, you're still not okay with that. If you were like, that doesn't sound too bad, then it still doesn't sound too bad.
And if you were like, nah, I bet, you know, Punk's just trying to make himself look good and that, like, that's not actually what happened.
Yeah.
And then you saw and it's like, actually what happened? You're like, oh, Punk was telling the truth.
Yes.
I wonder what else.
Now, I will say this, once again, flipping back on the positive, in my opinion, with AEW, is I do think by the Bucks wearing a scapegoat shirt and showing the footage, I do think this has helped Jack Perry as far as him being a heel. Because now it looks like you got CM Punk fired for that, you know? And so now it makes heat on Jack Perry, like... if you saw Windy City Riot, like they were chanting, you got choked out, and a bunch of others, like his heel persona now is better because of this. So if that was the plan to do this to help get Jack Perry over, okay. I don't think there isn't as much of a pro as there is a con, but okay, if that's what we're using this for, cool. If you were using this to help the Bucks FTR match build up, I mean, I think you could have still done all of that without them showing the footage and get the same result. You could have had that Bucks promo and then FTR promo and still got the same result to get me invested in that match.
You know what else is a problem?
What's that?
And my biggest takeaway from it is if you remember Tony Khan stating that he feared for his life during the incident. First of all,
so
wasn't there.
No, yes, he was. Yes,
no,
he was.
He was.
So when Punk chokes Jack Perry, if you look to the right, you see a table, but you can't see anyone behind it. That's their gorilla position. So after Punk gets pulled off, when you see Punk lunge to the right, he is lunging at Tony Khan. You just can't see Tony Khan.
He said, "You're a clown, and I quit."
When he said fear for his life, I was like, oh dang, like he was, you know, must have been like out of control.
Remember when the reports came out, they were saying that Tony Khan was buried by monitors and whatnot.
Here's
my big thing about what AEW showed. It kind of blew the mystique out of this entire thing. Was like wrestling legend. This was like something that we could have talked about for ages upon ages. Like, oh yeah, I wish I was a fly on the wall in a gorilla position for this. You don't have that anymore. You have physical proof that these certain events happen, and now it took the air right out of that sort of mystique, because wrestling is larger than life, and there are going to be things that we don't know about. Like, there's still, like, if we talk about, say, the Montreal Screwjob, there are still people that believe that it was all a work.
Yes.
With this could have been one of those moments, but they decided to pull the curtain a little bit too much and kind of just ruin the mystique of it. And the fact that AEW was willing to, well, did not see that was like something that could have been major, and they went ahead and switched it to it becoming like a minor blip. Like, it, and also, like, after the thing had aired, we had Okada on the screen, and there were plenty of CM Punk chants. Like, you are basically giving CM Punk a platform that, honestly, like, that time is past. Like, let's move on from it. Like, CM Punk is doing just fine in the WWE. Like, why be the ex-girlfriend in this, Tony? And secondly, you are giving anyone that has a feud with CM Punk, you were giving them all the ammunition in the world.
Just say it. You're giving Drew McIntyre all the ammunition in the world.
Exactly. And so I think it was an incredibly bad move. I do like the fact that it kind of tied in together with like the Young Bucks and FTR, but you didn't really need the footage.
That's my point, is I do think everything around the footage was handled very well and built up that match. And I was already wanting to see it, but like, it has got me even more interested in it. But I think you basically could have did something where like you're him hauling around the name, and maybe then like you say the name CM Punk, but you don't show the footage, you know? Like, I don't know, man.
It was a dumb move. And the fact that Tony Khan got on Twitter like an hour after, it was like, oh yes, we got the reports in, and this has been like the most viewed Dynamite and everything. Like, dude, this is 2000s WCW right here.
No, listen, everyone is saying that. I will defend that to the death. This is not 2000s WCW. 2000s WCW was way worse than this.
This feels like Russo booking, though.
Okay, so listen, it was a good Dynamite with a bad decision. That was a bad decision, right? Okay, Tubbs, let me rephrase that. Ron, are you saying that showing the footage felt like 2000s WCW, or are you saying AEW right now feels like 2000s AEW?
I'm saying showing the footage.
Okay, that's different. A lot of people are saying like AEW right now, like the show as a whole is 2000s WCW. It's like,
no, they actually have wrestlers worth a gosh dang heck and shoot.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But the decision in itself was 2000s WCW. This was jumping the shark WCW.
It was
Bash at the Beach WCW.
All right, so let me
Honestly, my biggest issue was with him bragging about, like, oh, look how great the ratings were. That was the part where I was like, you're not even denying that you used it for, like, a cheap pop.
Like, everyone watched the CM Punk footage.
So the only reason I am not, I don't have a problem with that, is Tony Khan, anytime the numbers are really big, he tweets it out, right? Mm-hmm. So this wasn't just a, like, oh, he did it this one time. Like, he does it every time. I have no problem him big upping his company. Like, WWE will, you know, tweet out, this was the biggest gate of this or that, or, you know, they do it too. So that didn't bother me so much, but I get your point, Ace, to where it's like, but it's obvious what they were tuning in for, you know, and it's a guy not on your roster.
Yeah.
Okay,
they're
so
tuning
I
in to see somebody from another promotion on your TV.
So exactly. So I texted a bunch of people that I used to know watching wrestling that's moved all across this country of ours. So I want to read some of the stuff I got back and see what y'all think about this, because I got some interesting takes on this.
Was it all people who don't watch anymore, or just were?
No, they still watch. Like, they still watch. They just don't.
My question is, I'm thinking of a very specific person. I'm very curious what he said.
So that very specific person, I will start with him, right? I will start with him. Mm-hmm. His exact take was, let's see here. I was fine with it. I wish Tony would have shown it sooner. I like transparency within wrestling and sports. To which I basically said, I don't think wrestling needs to be transparent about everything. That's the mystique of it, is even though we all think we're insiders and we all want to use the words like, oh, he got buried and oh, they're pushing him and stuff like that. The truth is, we know as much information as they have let out, you know, in wrestling. Like the reason we know, like back in the days, guys carried knives and guns in their bags, and you know, sometimes there'd be a fight in the back room after every other match, is because the wrestlers from the 80s told those stories in the 2000s, like 20 years later, you know, like that's the reason we have that information. So I don't think transparency is good, because can you imagine if they were super transparent in like the late 80s and early 90s, would Hulk Hogan have been the little kid hero?
I don't think so.
If they would have been transparent, then, like, you know, we would have maybe have known ahead of time that Jeff Hardy was like going to the ring drunk. You know, like, I don't think that you need to have that much transparency. Because like you said earlier, like you guys were talking about earlier, you were saying how there could have been a mystique to this, right? To where it's like, and it, with the mystique, you're making the fans choose sides, right? Hey, do you think Punk's right? Do you think Tony's right? They both talked about it. Who do you think's right? And then you like fantasy book what actually happened and how Tony's lying or how Punk's lying. But that's all it is it's just us thinking. They just removed all doubt of what happened. Now when I say, hey, I don't think that that's that big of a deal, because I've heard of worse stories happening in wrestling locker rooms over and over again. You know, I now can literally be like, yeah, he just choked him a little bit. You know, it's not that big of a deal.
And then you had Chris Hero just kind of like, oh, no.
Right.
I think that was the thing that I was like, oh, man, Chris Hero is back there.
I love when I rewatch, I love the Joe double take. Joe turns, sees Punk like starting to choke him, and starts to turn his head. And he's like, wait, no, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Like Joe for a second is like, oh, Punk. And he's like, oh, wait, no, Punk. No, stop.
And then you had like Malachi Black just casually like walking up, like holding a coffee in one hand and then hand in pocket in the other. He's like, I wasn't planning on stopping this, but you know, I want to see what's good.
Right.
Joe looked like he was annoyed that he had to step in.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Joe looked
He was like, Dad, freaking gummit.
Well, you had to think, like, at this point in time, their match is next. So literally with this happening right now, yeah, I bet Joe's pissed off because Joe's about to go in front of 80,000 people and have to wrestle a match with this guy that he's having to pull off that's yelling, "You're a clown, I quit," and stuff like that. And Joe's just like, probably like, "Phil, don't F this up for me." You know, like, yeah, I 100% think Joe's like, "Dude, this is a really cool career moment for me. If you could, you know, just calm the hell down.
Yeah, just get through the match, and then whatever you want to do after that, I don't care. Just, you're not gonna ruin this for me."
Right? Right.
Because that night was a big deal. So, yeah, no, night. Absolutely.
That night was a huge deal.
Yeah.
So on another sidebar, as far as with that same Dynamite, what about that Will Ospreay promo?
I still don't understand. Like, why take the shot? Like, I personally don't think that Trips was singling Ospreay out as much as every... You 100% do?
Dude, when I watched that interview live, and the second those words came out of his mouth, I literally turned to my wife and went, "Damn, Trips taking shots at Ospreay." And then she said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Don't worry, go back to reading."
I didn't get that. I did not get that.
The reason I got it 100% is this. So a bunch of people said what you've been saying, like there is a lot of free agents right now that just went to AEW, right? Mm-hmm. Mercedes went to AEW. She did one interview where actually in the interview she talked about she has unfinished business in WWE, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okada went to WWE, went to AEW. Didn't do an interview. And he may have did one in Japan, not here, not that we know of. Will Ospreay went to AEW and did an interview in which he was asked, "Why did you pick AEW over WWE?" And he literally set out all the reasons why he picked AEW over WWE. And one of them was that he has his wife and stepson
wanted to
stay in the UK because her father had passed within the last like year or two. And on
I don't
day,
think that it was like a purposeful thing. Because, yeah, yes, that was one of the big things about AEW is, okay, you get to work less, you get more, like, guaranteed money, A, B, C, and D. That's, like, well known. And I think it's an easy shot at AEW. I don't think that it was completely a Will Ospreay shot, because why alienate other wrestlers at this point?
I think Trips made it... Trips is smart. Listen, he's the game. He's the cerebral assassin. I think he took a shot in Ospreay's direction, but made it vague enough to where it'd be like, "Oh, well, not you," you know. But no, I think he took a shot at Ospreay, and I think Ospreay was 100% justified in what he did and how he handled it. Because, to be honest, that's how Triple H would have handled it. Back in the 90s, an Attitude Era, if somebody on another show in an interview or something said something kind of directed towards you, you would get on the next week and say something directed right back.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a bunch of people are like, AEW needs to stop doing this because he did it on Dynamite. And like, I don't even know where Triple H did. Triple H did it on the Pac McAfee show. You know, no offense here, but I guarantee you, if you look up the ratings, that Pat McAfee show probably had better ratings than Dynamite. I'm just going to be honest here.
Everyone loves the Pat McAfee show. It's on ESPN.
That's right. So it's like it was on a major thing. So let's stop acting like Triple H like said it on some podcast that no one listens to, right? It was on the Pat McAfee show.
Yeah.
And also, Will Ospreay has no other avenue but Dynamite or Collision, right? Unless he wants to tweet it out, and what's the point? So it's like, yeah, this is what wrestlers do. If they think somebody take a shot at them, you don't want to be a whipping post. You don't want to be that guy that then people are like, "Oh, he's not going to respond. Let's just continue to
shoot." Yeah, but one of the biggest things that came out from the Ospreay thing is that, once again, people are talking about how Trips kind of married into the situation or slept his way into the situation. And I think that's just old news. That's like low hanging fruit at that point. Like, if you're going to go after him, like, go after his heart or something. I don't know.
I think
He doesn't have the heart for wrestling anymore. And so, yeah, like, oh my God, I would pop at that. And that honestly could have been like my entire reason of not liking the Ospreay promo.
I popped for it. I did. I think if I was Will Ospreay, I would have popped back too. Whereas the first thing, I think you can find issues, obviously, with showing the film and stuff. I have no issues with Will Ospreay popping back.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was fine. Will Ospreay needs to talk his ish all he wants, because in all honesty, Will Ospreay right now is one of the best things about AEW. His matches, his promos have been way better than I thought they would be with him coming in here. Like, Will Ospreay is the man right now.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But
I don't know. Yeah. I guess, like, I wish that I had felt the way I felt about AEW back when it first started. And the fact that it doesn't feel that way kind of makes me sad.
So, okay, here's the thing, because I've heard a bunch of people say this, you know, the feeling's gone, the feeling's different, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to ask you, Ron, since me and you, I know we're both watching it at its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is missing? What is it that has changed? What is it that makes it feel different? What is it that just you can't get past?
I think it's compelling storylines, because you only have like one storyline that hits at a time, where it used to be like, oh, I'm invested in A, B, C, and D. And you don't, like, when you watch AEW now, you don't care about the B, C, or D stories. You just care about what Swerve and Hangman are going to do. That's it. Like, I'm not even fully invested in, like, any of the championships right now. I'm not invested in the eventual turn of Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale. I'm not invested in, I'm just not invested as much as I feel like I should. Like, cool. Like, okay, Will Ospreay is amazing. Cool. I love Konosuke Takeshita. Cool. Like, I get to see some really, really great moves and some really, really awesome wrestling. But if you don't have the story behind it, then you're just watching stunts. And right, as much as I love, like, watching really, really, really cool stuff, I also get immersed in storylines.
Agreed. Agreed. So, okay, let me ask you this then, to tie it together with also future AEW programming. Dynasty is this coming Sunday.
Yeah.
Are you not excited about Dynasty?
I mean, I'm excited about Dynasty, but I feel like if it had better storylines coming into it, I would be more excited rather than just focusing on one thing. Because I think it's really disjointed.
So, okay, so your thing is you just want more stories or better stories.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that have come out recently with AEW is that they're putting more of a focus on actual, like, in-ring talent and putting stories, like, as, like, a back burner sort of thing. Like, it's definitely the opposite of what WWE is doing, and I understand that. It's a nice alternative. But there was a time where AEW did both, and they did both extremely well. And there's also a time where they didn't. But I don't know. I feel that stories, like building up legends, I think it's missing that sort of. It's missing that. That is the part of the formula I think they're lacking, because after the MJF thing, yeah, I just wish I could get, like, super, super invested. I'm glad that Swerve and Hangman have a blood feud, but what else is there?
Well, I agree, but I would argue I'm not sure if AEW ever had a lot of stories. And I say this out of love, because I love AEW. I watch Wednesday Live every week. Mm-hmm. But what you were describing is like, you know, they have like an A, B, and C story, you know. They've had those, but like they've always kind of had one main story going, and then the other ones are there. And yeah, maybe you gravitate to them or not, but to me, they've always been a company that has one to two main stories going, and then they're just doing matches. Because they even said when they very first started that they wanted this to be kind of a merger of like MMA and wrestling, where it's like, you know, there's like you know, the wins and losses, and yeah, you know, just like actual fights and stuff like that. So I don't think they've fallen that far off of what they were, but that, I mean, that's
I
my
just
opinion.
I don't
yeah,
I don't
like right
feel
now,
like
you're,
it's
Danielson,
it's like,
and Ospreay.
I get
story.
It when they
you have
like
Swerve and Joe.
They wanted it to be an alternative.
I'll say
they
Bucks
wanted to
FTR.
Treat it more like sports.
Three of the bigger storylines.
I just
the Willow Nightingale.
They
like
did it
said,
in a way where it was
Statlander,
very compelling. It was very compelling
turn.
Television. And now that
and then
they had taken away
this,
I think
best
a lot of like
breaking up
the really good stories and put more of a focus
like,
on
to me would be
physical
five
performance
big right now.
I think it just
Okada
comes down to personal
and
preference.
That continental
personal
championship
preference,
kind
I
of,
don't
they basically
resonate
put into
with AEW as much
that,
as I
that
used
is just
to.
The like
so I think that's just
wrestling,
me.
Not storyline title. And
okay, I know we lost Jake.
Was it Intercontinental or whatever it is?
Possibly.
Yeah. Is he okay?
I don't know. Oh, we lost Jake.
Oh, we lost Jake?
Yeah, like he's like it fell off.
Oh, no, that's what I noticed. Like I just wanted to continue on and then
yeah.
I don't know what you want to do.
Well,
oh, there we go.
We'll just wrap up the show.
There we go.
Wait, no, he's back.
Yeah, we got him.
He's back. No wrapping up. Although we should wrap up. It's getting close.
You good, baby boy?
I'm good. It just kicked me off of the.
Yeah.
But yeah. I get your point, but I feel that that's what AEW's weakness has been since the beginning with stories, because mm-hmm. They were trying to have the best wrestling, and that's still kind of their mission statement. But I don't think they do have like they have some good stories, but they don't have multiple kind of moving parts all at once. Whereas, like you said, WWE, that's what they're doing the best right now, is all these multiple part stories.
Yeah. I think tastes have changed. I think that's all it comes down to.
Yeah. I think AEW, if they want to survive, they need to try to collaborate more with talent to find that story that will hook people, because at the end of the day, all the 5-star matches in the world will get you decent ratings, but the stories is what will actually get people to be invested.
Right. Absolutely. I 110% agree.
See, we found common ground.
We did.
We're still friends. But
yeah.
Okay.
At the end of the day, like I draw smut and he has a firebending baby.
Yeah. Pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome life.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
And hey, let's not forget Ace. Ace has a kid that pees on the couch.
Yeah. Little pee-pee couch.
Pee-pee couch. I'm pretty certain that is in my future. But I'm going to act. I'm going to totally judge Ace right now and act like it's a thing that could have been avoided until it happens.
Yeah, no,
to me.
You go right ahead. Yeah, you go right ahead.
you're asking for that karma, like right at your doorstep. It's
right. I'm 100%
show up with a boombox and this clip queued up on loop.
But you know what? That's fair. I would deserve that.
Well, to wrap up, because we are pushing close to time, and like most of everything has been said that was the big like thing, is the one thing that we should probably bring up.
Keanu Reeves is Shadow in Sonic 3. Absolutely.
No, stop it. No, for realsies.
What?
Rhea Ripley had to abdicate.
Oh, so she did. Title. Okay.
She did. She did relinquish the title. And when she relinquished it, Liv Morgan came out and ran her mouth. But yeah, relinquished. It's because the quish part. The women's world title due to injury.
Dang.
So that means
Sheamus is back.
And what?
That means Vacancy Man is the title?
I was going to say, and Sheamus is back. Yeah. No, like, I'm sure there'll be some tournament at Payback.
Yeah, so, Vacant is now the new title holder.
Yep.
Good for him, her.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. But yeah, no, Keanu Reeves is Shadow for Sonic the Hedgehog 3, sonicking harder.
Ace, just hit the music. It's
no, let him talk about it. It's a big deal.
Dude, it's amazing. Have you not watched the Sonic movies?
Have you not heard the fact that it doesn't shock me at all that Keanu Reeves is the voice of Sonic?
Dude, yeah, you... Idris Elba as Knux, and then now you have Keanu as Shadow the Hedgehog, the Edgelord himself? That's amazing. Shadow is now John Wick. Shadow is now Neo. Shadow is both Bill and Tank. Have you ever watched Captain Laserhawk on Netflix? Because it's pretty cool. I heard it has Cody Rhodes.
Make sure that you're following us on all of our social medias, including Twitter at QuickPopCast, Facebook at The Quick Pop Podcast, and Instagram as well at The Quick Pop Podcast. Any of those are great ways to reach out to the host of the show, and we'd love to talk to you as well. We are constantly speaking on current events and would love to hear your opinions on stuff too. So get in touch with us today.